views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is October the 12th, 2018. It is a Friday. It's a Financial Friday. And we are going to have a great show lined up for you today. I have my co-host with us, and it's Pastor Keith is in the building. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation anytime, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for to chime in. Would love to hear from you all, because I think it's very significant, especially a lot of the different things that are happening. Want to get you as prepared and bring you information so that you can make the best decision that you possibly can make. And I just want to say, please, everyone, just understand, you know, for us with the show, we're not saying that we know everything. We're not saying that, you know, what we're just trying to do is bring some of the best practices that we found and just some ideas to you to think about, that you may have not thought about before. And then what you do with that information is up to you. But we just are here to provide information that not saying that all of that information is always going to be correct. I have no problem, with that as far as your circumstances and everything. But what's critical is that we do talk about things that do not get talked about, and significant things that I think are very, very, very important for us to be as prepared as we possibly can. It is our overall mandate and my overall viewpoint, else I wouldn't be doing this show, else I wouldn't be here, is to put you in a position of advantage as much as you possibly can be in light of the situational events and circumstances that will befall you, trip you up, or be placed in front of you. We just want to give you some other options other than what the system has schooled us to think and to do. So that's why we do the show. It's a preparedness show, and it's really a looking at what's going on and trying to position ourselves in, you know, a better position, ourselves, our families, and the overall community. That's the overall goal. That's the objective in this overall show. And it's really all about self-determination and sustainability and sovereignty is what I think is very, very, very important. So just always be mindful of that, is that when we talk about certain things, we're talking about them in a specific content, not for it to be blown into anything other else, because circumstance is different. If it's going to be, if we're going to talk about something in a different context, then we need to, because then it should be talked about that way. So want you all to know the purpose of this show is to definitely get you prepared and to actually to have you think about something that you may have otherwise not had thought about before, and using some practices and experiences that people have through life experience that could benefit us all. That's why we're here. So with that being said, we're going to jump into today's show. But before we could do that, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You can do that by going to the website for this network, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and go down to the overall donation prompt, hit the button, and give some financial energy to this network so it can stay viable, stay on air, and continue to grow. You can also support the network by being a member in the social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community can be found at www.btrcommunity.com. It's a $24 annual membership, so you make an annual membership of $24 once a year. And with that, you can engage in all of your social media activities that you would otherwise engage in on some of the mainstream platforms that are actually crowdfunding against you and using your overall participation in activities as a way to profit from that, and they're as a revenue stream. And they're not sharing that revenue stream with you, okay? So come on over to BTR Community where you can do that. And, you know, within reason, you can post things about yourself, your business, or things that you think that need to be highlighted. So please definitely do that, and it is here. So with that being said, we're going to get ready to go into today's show. But before we do that, it's really time for you to exchange your cash, your savings of cash, into real money. And you can do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership. You can find it at www.prosperitymint.com. And then once you are there, check out what's in inventory, then send an email, say, hey, Dave from Tando Radio Show told me to contact and find out what's the overall buying process. You need to know the buying process is in your benefit. And you can do that at info@prosperitymint.com and just say that you're a Tando Radio Show listener. Someone will get in contact with you. Please respond back. But they are only getting in contact with you, and they will only send like maybe one or two. But they're only getting in contact with you for that overall purpose. They're not going to continue. They're not going to sell your information or use that information other than to contact you and to move forward in that overall process. So Prosperity Mint is where you can exchange your cash into real money. Very important. You should be doing that. All right. So going to jump into today's show, Pastor Keith. Today's show is a Financial Friday. Global markets are bankrupting the people. It's today's show. Global markets are bankrupting the people. And the economy is basically bankrupting the people. And so we're going to take a look at some of that. Very, very important. So we're going to jump into what's in the news. Pastor Keith, did you have anything?
Not yet.
All right. Here we go. All right. So first article I got from Press TV. Press TV, Venezuela's Maduro says U.S. plans to assassinate him. Yes. Already been done, been tried. But I think that it's going to be, they're going to try it. It definitely could be done. Hopefully it doesn't get done. This overall, this culture of violence that we live in is ridiculous. But the attempts have been made, and he's, in my opinion, he's actually being protected by the interest of those that have interest in his country doing well, and that would be those that have an interest in him not doing well. You know, he's not saying anything that hasn't already basically been admitted when celebrity figurehead Trump said he was thinking about having intervention because of the humanitarian crisis, military intervention in Venezuela because of the humanitarian crisis. See, that's a bunch of lies. They want to be there because Venezuela has resources that's necessary to control the economy. That's what it is. It just happens that it's oil, okay? And so, but that's the overall direction of all. They use resources to control the economy. So the celebrity figurehead Trump said he's thinking about intervening and asked the overall countries around Venezuela and South America, would they support him intervening into Venezuela by way of, because of a humanitarian crisis, but knowing that that wasn't it. He basically was saying have an invasion or have sponsoring a coup. And then there was an assassination attempt. Definitely was probably those that spoke about. They're guilty by what they've already talked about. They've already put that out. So Maduro is telling nothing that is not already new, but he's actually telling the truth. They are trying to assassinate him. Why? Because they need that oil for this overall to maintain their overall economic direction and economic position, which is being lost, and for the war. So check out that article. Next article, we're going to text this from, I got this from the Automatic Earth. Of course the Fed is crazy. We're going to check out that one. Next article, got from New America. Fed set up to spoil the party and damper the Trump economy. Check out that article. Next article, very, very important. Yesterday, Russia went into military drills, and it was a hasty drill that they started. It probably was planned, but it was very, very significant. And this was from RT. It says, watch Russia test its nukes in large-scale drill. They had nuclear testing from ballistic missiles, from missiles from subs, and missiles from their overall plane deployment. And very, very significant, and this was yesterday. Here's the sub. The Russian military has tested the components of its nuclear deterrent, including land launched nuclear missiles, nuclear-armed submarines, and strategic aircraft with nuclear bombs intended to retaliate against an enemy attack. All three components of the Russian nuclear triad were involved in the exercise on Tuesday. And I uploaded a YouTube video from out of Russia that shows their overall drills that they took. And I'm going to tell you something. They actually, Keith, if you would take a look right here, take a look at this. And I would suggest for those of you that are not in that are in BTR, in BTR community, go to our site, our page of Tando Radio Show, and you'll see a YouTube video out of Russia. And if you take a look at this YouTube video, they actually uploaded live nukes. That's a live nuke right there.
It is, and they said they would.
Yep, that's a live nuke. That's there, and the thing about those type of drills, you usually have those type of drills with dummy nukes.
Yeah,
but they had a full deployment of their overall nuclear triad. The subs didn't shoot live nukes; they shot, but these planes, the strategic bombers, had live nukes loaded, and they went airborne. It's very telling as to where we are. And Pastor Keith, I'll send that in so you can check that out and you can see it.
They don't care.
Yeah. And it's definitely moving that way. And there's another significant article with that we need to take a look at as well, Pastor Keith. Next article I got from Press TV. Trump vows pain as China trade surplus hits record. So check out that article. Next article, here we go. Check this out, Pastor Keith and everyone else, from Sputnik News. In U.S. footsteps, British grounds entire F-35 fighter jet fleet. So yesterday, we reported how the U.S. had grounded all of their F-35s. Now Britain has grounded all of their F-35s. Now, it could be a couple of things here. They could be grounding all of their F-35s because they plan on trying to give another variant to it, upgrade to it, to be able to mitigate the S-300, S-400 system. Or it could be something totally the opposite, where the F-35 has been plagued with problems and it's been proven to be unreliable. So it's a lot going on here. You got to be careful with the devil in the details, because they may be using this as an opportunity to change their format on the planes as well, because they plan on interdicting in Syria, which I think that is the overall process. But it also could be because these planes are nowhere near as serviceable or capable as they have been projected to have been. And I think that is probably the truth. Next article got from Business Insider. Market meltdown relents as U.S. future markets point to major rebound. They got that one from Business Insider. Check that out. Next article, got this one from Bloomberg as well. This one was New evidence of hack. Listen to this one, Keith. This came from technology on Bloomberg. It's a couple of days old, but here it is. It's 2 days old, 3 days old. Here it is. New evidence of hacked Supermicro hardware found in U.S. telecom. The discovery shows that China continues to sabotage critical technology components bound for America. But see, here's the thing. All of the components are already here. They're already embedded. They're already, definitely. But this is significant, so I wanted you to check that article out. Next article from RT International. Trump willingness to antagonize the world triggers China and India's rapprochement. This is very true. Now, India and China, which have been, you know, they've been shooting at each other on their borders for years. But big business has a way of making enemies friendly if the two sides are wise. So that's definitely significant. And this is significant with the next article from Sputnik News. U.S. sanctions over S-400 system will bring India closer to Russia, a defense analysis says. U.S. celebrity figurehead Donald Trump has indicated some harsh measures against India for the S-400 deal with Russia. New Delhi concluded the deal with Russia on October the 5th, asserting that the deal is in the nation's best interest and that the negotiations proceeded CAATSA by a long period. And that's the overall program of sanctioning Russia. So what did India say? Go pound sand.
Thank you, everybody else.
And what the U.S. said, now we're going to sanction you. So you see how this is playing out. This is going to have a real, real dramatic economic effect on every single person listening to this show. If you're prepared for it or not, so why not us try to prepare as much as we can? And please don't – I'm not the one that's creating these overall conditions in these environments. But my overall thing is to actually give you some options and to get you to be thinking about what you could do with the circumstances that are – just because you don't see the effects of it right now does not mean that they won't be, you know, right in front of you at some point in some time. The overall trend is going in this way, and it's actually happening. And the thing is that the actual adverse side of what's going on is already affecting us in a major, major way. We don't need to wait for a major economic collapse to happen in the U.S. It already has happened. It's already happened in our community. It's that way. So, and if we don't have some better forms of practice to mitigate this, then we will continue to be on the road that we're on right now. And that needs to change by us. Yes, the system needs to be changed. But the system is not going to fine tune and retune itself to be a benevolent system. It's going to have to be where the people decide that this is no longer acceptable. We are going to move in a different direction. And that needs to be spurred by a truthful education. So Keith wanted to chime in.
Just in line of what you were saying, Dave. We don't have to look very far. We hear about it, but, you know, it's kind of like when you hear about something and you hear about all these people dying, right? But if you know one face in all those people that dying, it changes your whole outlook, your perspective, and everything else. That's what we have to do. Why I say that, because like you said, it's right here, right now, today. If you look at the people that don't have health care, and the consequences and how it's ravaging our society because these people can't go to the doctor. It's huge, but it hasn't shown a particular face that we know yet. I read an article where it talked about we're approaching almost 50% of our society is approaching where they pay 50% for their rent. Well, not too long ago, you couldn't get a place unless you made at least three times what your rent was. And that was necessary because in order to afford that place, they knew that you had to have certain things.
Right. Hitting the nail on the head. Right.
So now you...
50%.
Almost 50%. So that means these people are literally going for it without the necessities just to have a roof over their head. Well, these things were unheard of not too long ago. But unfortunately, they haven't presented an individual face that we recognize yet. But it's all around us. It's all around us. No, we don't have to wait for this economic collapse. We're in the midst of it. We just got to open up our eyes and see it. Absolutely.
Yeah, we've already collapsed.
Absolutely.
And Chief, you bring a good point because you're right. We've already collapsed. Look at the overall – look at the prosperity that has been lost by the community. Look at where we really are economically. And it's because the system has made it very easy and convenient for us to be in that position. But in order for us to get out of this, we're going to have to do something that's hard. We're going to have to do something that's not comfortable. We're going to have to do something that's going to require toil. It's going to require work. And it's going to require a discipline like no other discipline that's been displayed before. It's going to require a steadfast commitment that is going to be painful. It's not going to be popular. It's not going to be convenient. The roads of convenience is littered with our blood. So Keith wanted to chime in real quick.
And there's another aspect, and this is where we know you're hurting. The stupidest thing that Trump could have done was went to the UN and preached nationalism. But you know what, Dave? The thing is, he's doing it in an ignorant, asinine manner that's completely detrimental. But the fact of the matter is, we have to turn nationalistic. It's just that we have to turn nationalistic without jacking with everybody else. And I'll give you what I mean by that. So what we just got done talking about is the fact that we're getting to the point where we can't afford to feed our people. Well, the people in the United States. We're getting to the point where people can't afford housing. We're getting to the point where the Republicans have already put in processes to cut all the social nets, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. They've already cut the assistance to the elderly for electricity and all that. Why? Because they can't afford it. And at the same time, they're looking at tens of billions of dollars on just this recent hurricane. We haven't even gotten over the hurricane in North Carolina, South Carolina, right?
Or in Houston.
Or in Houston. Or Puerto Rico.
Or in New Orleans.
So if we can't do these things, how are you going to pay for those? So our only recourse needs to be a national recourse. It's just that we have to have a national recourse without jacking with everybody else along the way. We've taken our whole, we've lost $21 trillion towards the military that they have no support. And we have, not only can the people not afford getting to the point where they can't afford to eat, no place to live, or no place else, but we have no roads, we have no bridges, we have, you know, yeah, we've collapsed. And at this point in time, we have to rebuild. But nothing that we're doing is going towards rebuilding.
Yeah. And Chief, in talking about what you're saying, in the rebuilding process, what are we going to rebuild? The same system that caused the last economic collapse? That's not rebuilding. You know, and you're absolutely right. There is a move that we need to do. And I think that it's a move of the people of the world need to really, because if you really think about it, the economy has really bankrupt every single person. Because the economy has been taking away from the general population in order to satisfy the wants and the desires of a very few. And you can only do that for so long until there's nothing more to take. And we're definitely reaching those different markers, that demarcation line. We're getting much, much closer to that line. And the purpose of us doing these shows is because I want us to take an individual approach on this first. Every person that's listening to this show, you'll have a choice. And your choice will either be to actually do something proactive about it or not. That choice is always ours for every single situation. And what you create as your priority is really will determine where you're going to be going in the future. What are your priorities? And I definitely think that one of our overall collective priorities is to get out of this system that has pretty much disenfranchised us from having any form of prosperity that we can count on going forward. This is unsustainable. It is not going. It's sustainable to what? Continue to have famines, wars, disease, poverty, subjugation, and enslavement. And we look at it from a micro standpoint when we really need to first address it from a macro. Excuse me, from the opposite. We look at it from a macro standpoint, but we really need to address it on the micro level. We need to look at, instead of looking how big this problem is, we need to look at us individually first and say, how is this affecting me? Let me make changes where I stand. And then from where I stand, let my overall change affect there and then outwardly grow from there. And then it's very easy to do something for yourself. You know, that's traveling fast. But if you want to go far, Keith and listeners, if you want to go far, you're going to need support from others. And we're going to need to start to support ourselves past our overall pride, past our overall individualism, past our overall. There really needs to be a collective movement. I was talking to a business partner, Dr. O, today, and Dr. O said to me, David, we were talking about a certain situation, and I want to use this correctly because I don't want to, and please, this is just a metaphoric example, okay? He said, David, you know, once you get cancer in the body, you really pretty much have cancer throughout the body. You're going to need to get not some of the cancer removed, you're going to need to get all of it removed. And there is, this system has so plagued us in so deeply that we don't even recognize how much it really is going to take for us to get the overall totality of this system off our back. Because when you look at it that way, we're looking at it too far. We have to address this immediately. On the individual level, you have to take a different approach in how you resonate as a person. I need to continue to do that. We all need to continue to do that. It starts with you individually, because if there isn't an individual change, there can never be a collective change. And that's what I hope that we will move towards, in spite of whatever the obstacles are. I really don't care about the obstacles, because the obstacles can make you stronger if you've already recognized that who you really, really are and what you really, really can do. And if you can't look at yourself that way, then what you'll always say was, yeah, 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 but. That's what will always be said. There will always be a but. This is so significant that it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult for us on the individual level. It's going to be difficult to work with somebody that you don't like, but it's going to be necessary to accomplish that you do it. It's going to be necessary for you to not have it your way. It's going to be difficult for you to turn away from that, but it's going to be necessary for the collective good. But see, the collective good can never be attached until you've already taken care of the soul good. We have to take care of the soul good so that we can move into the collective good. Because, Keith, you can get to a point where you have to realize that one of the biggest problems that you have is you. In addressing that, and once you start to address those things, and that big problem with you is that, okay, well, what do I need to do? I need to change my own. See, preparing is not preparing for an event. It's really a lifestyle. It's really a culture. And it's so, so necessary, in my opinion. Because it really provides a meaningful solution for what befalls us all. So I hope that that will be, and I'm setting forth in that being the overall objective and the methodology of it. I really don't, I'm just going to do my part and assist those that and work in that realm and space, because that's all I can do. When you can do all that you can do, you know you've done much. You know you've done much. So we'll get back to that. So let me get back to some of the things that's in the news so we can get into today's show. Next article from Oil Price. Trump threatens Iran's oil clients. Of course. Check out that article. Next article, this one came from Bloomberg. And this one is one of the ones that we definitely may look at today. IMF says yuan is fairly valued ahead of U.S. currency manipulation report. This is significant. This basically is going to be how the system will be able, how they're going to replace and divest the U.S. even further. Very, very significant. IMF says the yuan is fairly valued. So if they say in the yuan, the Chinese yuan is fairly valued, here's what's reading between the lines. It's saying that the U.S. dollar isn't. It's basically what they're saying. And we're going to take a look at, because it's going to be used as a catalyst for the overall troubles that is coming. Next article I got from CNBC, criminals, nothing but criminals. Treasury, celebrity figurehead Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin describes Wall Street two-day plunge as a natural correction. And if we continue to believe them, we will continue to be where we are right now. So check out that article. Next article, got this from Daily Reckoning. The four pillars of debt in danger of collapse. The four pillars of debt in danger of collapse. We're definitely going to try to take a look at this one as well. Next article, Rise got this one from Consent Contact. The globalist purge, UN invasion, martial law, Walmart closings, and FEMA camps. Great article there, Rise. Next article, Rise got from South China Morning Post. Attempt to isolate China from the world trade system will not work. Of course not, it can't. They've already embedded themselves. Next article, Rod said this is a must documentary, The Third Industrial Revolution. Ooh, I definitely want to check this one out. The global economy is in crisis. So true. So true. Great one, Rod. I'm definitely going to check that one out. I don't know how long this is, but I will like this, and then I will definitely check this out. Next article, Rod posted from South China Morning Post. North Korea. You hear this? The next economic powerhouse. We've been talking about that for so long. So true. Great article there, Rod. Next article. Next article, Rod, posted from South China Morning Post is U.S.-China trade war intensifies. Philippines seeking a balance tie. Next article, Rod, posted from Asian Times. Ghosts of crisis past returns amidst Trump's trade wars. Check out that. And they're at the Indonesia annual meeting in 2018. Check out that. And then another one from A Times is Asian Times. Great Barrier Reef towards coal-fired extinction. Great Barrier Reef teeters towards coal-fired extinction. Check out that article. And next article, Rise, posted from A Times, is Ruble hits new low as Pakistan seeks IMF bailout. Check out that. And a couple of more. couple more here. But next one, from Anytime, North and South Military Deals Arms. Excuse me. From Anytime, Rise posted, North and South Military Deal has alarm bells ringing. Talking about North and South Korea, military deal has alarm bells ringing. Washington is angry. Seoul is lowering its defenses too fast. Joint chiefs hint at reduction capabilities, and a retired general launches a petition. This is why is North Korea doing this? Because they've already made a deal of unification South Korea has already made a deal of reunification with North Korea. Catered and sponsored and actually facilitated by China and Russia. They made a decision like India's made a decision. And then what they said, we're going to go away from the dollar hegemony, the U.S. hegemony. Huge, huge, huge. So now last article from Science, Rise posted, we will find you. DNA search used to nab Golden State Killer could home in on about 60% of white Americans. So check out that article. So that's what's in the news. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the calling number. And we're going to jump into today's show. So now, today's show is global markets are bankrupting the people. And just basically, it could have been the economy's job is to bankrupt the people. Is really what I should have put there, and that's pretty much it. And we're going to take a look at some things with that. Okay, so where do we start? But there's an article that I posted from West Point, and this was the article that we need to take a look at. J.P. Morgan expert: true debt, pensions, healthcare payments will consume half of Illinois' revenue. Bankruptcy option needed. This is an article. And so here's what I'm going to jump into. A chairman of market and investment strategy at J.P. Morgan Chase Asset Management had a report. His report released yesterday, the ARC updated his earlier research comparing the percentages of state revenue needed to pay interest on general obligation debt and meeting its future pension and retirees' health care obligation. The link to the report is here. Let me just stop there real quickly. You're hearing about the Fed raising interest rates, right? And it was a small amount of interest rate that was raised. Here's what's significant about this. When you raise the interest rate, even a small amount, the country right now, the economy, the U.S. economy is already done and it's going to roll over the show. And it's already been dead for a while, but now the stench of its demise is about to be made globally known. And in that stench, everyone is going to run away from that decomposing stench body. It is not even a point where they will even try to bury it, because the stench of it is going to be so bad, everyone is going to try to run away from it as far as they possibly can. Here's the problem that is going to face our community, our families, and us individually. How do you raise interest rates when your overall national debt is over $21 trillion? Is there a reason for raising the interest rate? Doesn't matter. But here's what it is. Just imagine you having a 20% interest rate, a 35% interest rate, Keith, on $50,000 in debt. And then your interest rate is at 25%. And the interest rate in your debt went from 30 to 50 to 60 to 70 to $100,000. Your debt keeps going up. Why does your debt keep going up? Because you can't pay it off. and you're using debt to pay debt.
It's compounding.
Which is compounding your overall debt obligation, which is really compounding how much resources will be taken from you when you go into default. Because all debt is either paid off or is defaulted on. It's either being is created, serviced, either paid off or defaulted on. That's the life cycle of all debt. And people say, well, just don't pay the debt, create more cash. Those individuals, anybody that says just print more, you don't have a real understanding of what the problem is. The creating of the cash is the problem, because that's the debt. Is not money. And so when they raise the debt just a little bit, just imagine if you had a payment of $100 and you were struggling to make that $100 payment.
Well, you raise the debt or raise the interest rate.
Raise the interest rate. You've been raising your debt, so now your payment has gone from $100 to $120. And then this, because of that, they say, hey, you're not paying off your debt. You can't pay your debt. You're missing this and you're missing this payment and everything else. Or your overall debt exposure is so great now, we realize that you're not going to be able to pay it. Remember what you said earlier, Keith, is that in order to get a place to live, if you were renting a place to live, you had to make three times the overall
asking price of the rent.
Why was it three times? Because that meant that you would be able to what? You would be able to afford to stay there. But if you're paying 50% of your rent going there, guess what? No matter where you live, you can't afford to be there. So your overall, let's say your overall debt obligation is $100 a month. And you've extended that debt to now where you've added more debt to it. Now it's $120 a month. And you can't make that $120 payment. Or even before you're making those payments. And then they see the crisis that you're in, and your debtor can change your overall interest because of what? They built it into the contract. Because your overall risk, your debt risk changes. So right now the U.S. has raised this, the Fed has raised the U.S. interest rate. Here's what they're not telling you. That means that their overall national debt, the interest on that now is even more. So instead of them paying $120, a person paying $120, just a small move of the interest that you have to pay on that is going to take that interest rate to what? Much higher. Now you got to pay $200. You couldn't afford $100. And now you raise the interest rate when you have this much debt. This is the cycle before you admit that you're bankrupt. Because it's not going to be your admission that you're bankrupt. It's going to be all of your lenders that are going to admit that you're bankrupt. Here's why. See, when you're in debt to someone, when you owe someone something, the holder of the debt is not really in debt. The person, let's say the indebted person is not really in debt. The one that you owe it to is the one that's in debt. Because if you don't make payment and you don't service that, it destroys them. It destroys them. When you have resources, what happens is this, is that you transfer the liability of fraudulent debt being placed against you. You transfer that liability right back to the fraudulent lender. Here's why. Because you can default on that debt, and because you have resources, still make it. There is no such thing as a debt jubilee. So what they're going to do is they're going to say, okay, well, I'm not going to let this person get scot-free away. I'm going to be looking at getting their resources, or I'm going to be looking at actually punishing them physically. You know, organized crime is the motto, not the myth. So when you can't pay, and then depending on how much debt exposure you have, is the how much response that you're going to get from people, because the stakes of your indebtedness is now destroying them. And that's one thing that we don't look at when it comes to debt. The type of debt that is being talked about and being had here is organized crime debt. And organized crime debt, when you don't pay your debt, guess what they do? They come break your legs. There's violence that follows this type of debt default. It always has and it always will. And right now, the U.S. is unable to make its overall services debt. It's unsustainable. It's impossible. And all of their creditors are trying to create ways to get out of it. And one of the most effective and efficient ways of getting out of it is they're getting out of it, and guess who they're sending that debt to? Guess who they're making the holders of that debt to? The everyday person here. The so-called taxpayers. They're transferring all of that debt to them. And in transferring that debt to them, those that are going to be holding this debt when it explodes is going to be crushed by it. And what I mean by crushed by it is that the overall violence that is attached to debt default is going to fall on the general population's lap. And this is a measure that you definitely need to be prepared for. So I want to go back to this. So check out this article. It says, most states, he concludes, has manageable burdens. I will say he's absolutely wrong. Which he defines as 15% or less. Not Illinois, which is far worse among the states. By his calculation, 50% of the state's revenue would have to go towards debt, pensions, and retirees' health care to reach full funding. You hear that, Keith? 51% of the state's revenue would have to go towards debt, pensions, and retirees' health care to reach full funding. That would take 30 years. He assumes all pensions would earn 6% a year on vested assets, he compares in the chart below. The cost of the unfunded pensions and retirees' health care as a percentage of the state's revenue. And what he does is he shows the chart of the state's revenue and which states have. And if you look at these states, Illinois, New Jersey, Hawaii, Connecticut, Kentucky, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, West Virginia, California are all above the 15% threshold. But Keith, here's the thing. These are all cookbook calculations. What I mean cookbook is that, yes, he says by his calculations, using his calculator. But see, the numbers don't lie. The individual putting the data in does. Their numbers are completely flawed, but even in them being flawed, it's saying that Illinois is completely, completely bankrupt. Not only Illinois, but New Jersey is, Hawaii is, Connecticut is, California is. Keith wants to chime in. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, I was just looking something up, and you were talking about how we were already bankrupt. All the way back in 2004, if you take that national debt and you were to put that on the individual taxpayer like you're saying, if you take the amount of U.S. debt which they have to get from all the individuals in the United States, in 2004, every man, woman, and child, the amount of debt would have amounted to about 72,951. That's for everybody in the United States.
Right. In order to service that debt, which they would have to get
the debt, right?
They would have to pay in order to get the debt,
pay off the debt,
Yes.
Right.
74K.
Right.
Each person.
Each person.
Woman and child.
Woman and child.
Man, woman, and child.
Man, woman, and child. So in 2015, that had doubled to 154,181. So in order for us to get out of debt 3 years ago.
Wait, let me ask you something real quick. Chief, the 74K, what year was it?
2004.
$74,000 as an annual salary in America, that's a significant salary.
That means that everybody owes a mortgage before they do anything else.
Yep. But what I'm saying, Keith, so in 2004, if we go back to 2004, if you were making $75,000 a year,
right,
that would be a significant, that would be considered a significant salary or a high salary earning individual, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. That was what they, if that's a high salary individual earning, now transfer that as to a debt of a person. That means that most people aren't making that salary.
Right.
So that's your middle class, your upper middle class.
Upper middle class.
Right?
Right.
It's $75,000.
Right.
For an individual. But you have to pay that. You have to pay what a high earning person salary would be just
right.
to get rid of the debt.
And they couldn't even do that because that's what they made that entire year.
Yes.
So that means without any food, clothing, or anything else, if you took a high person salary and transferred it all over, it still wouldn't count because you're looking at that time, you probably look at less than 10% of the people then.
Yes.
Whereas, and that's less than 10% of income earned.
Yes.
We're talking about every man, woman, and child.
Yes.
That was in 2004. So in 2015, it was 154,161. So you can see how fast it's going up. But just next year, that's projected, and these are old numbers, but next year, according to these numbers, which is obsolete, it's $161,022.
Okay, now, let's stop there.
Let's stop there. 100 and what?
$61,000.
Okay. $161,000. Now you're moving up into the CEO measure. Now you're moving up into the CEO bracket of what their salary would be, not including bonuses and other things. Now you're moving into the professional athlete salary, minimum salary from like football, from a veteran salary in the NFL. Their base salary has to start at a minimum of $159,000. Okay, so now you're starting to move into the realm of professional athletes.
About 5%.
And that's just what you have to pay all of that. Every single person has to be a veteran professional athlete and get paid that way and just get paid that and use all of that income to pay off the debt. Every single man, woman, and child has to have the overall expendable income of a professional athlete to pay off the debt is really what's being said here. And that's with their cookbook numbers. So this is critical. My man Roz is there. I want to go to Roz, but in 1 second, Roz. But here's what, because I don't want to break Roz, so we're going to go to a commercial break. Hold on, Roz, real quick. Here's what it really is. But the true numbers is not even a professional athlete number. Here's what the true numbers probably are. You would have to have the annual revenue of a medium-sized corporate business. Every man, woman, and child in this country to pay off this debt would probably have to come up with $4 or $5 million each to pay off the debt. That's what the real numbers are, because the numbers that they show there is the unfunded is not even showing the is not even accounting for the unfunded liabilities. That's not even showing for all of this, and because what they did is they moved the overall metrics and the measures that they use to calculate these things so that the numbers would come down and seem more sustainable, and they're not. Because the debt itself is nowhere near $21 trillion. It's nowhere near. What did you say? How much did the military lose?
It lost $21 trillion.
So how can the national debt be $21 trillion and $21 trillion has been lost? Can't. So listen, Roz, what I want to do is I want to go. We got 3 minutes left. I want you to go ahead and start what you were saying, then we'll take it into the break as well. Okay, so I want to go to Roz. Roz, what's going on? What say you, bro?
Hey, peace, Brother Dave. Peace to Brother Pastor Keith and the other callers and listeners. I wanted to chime in about that documentary I posted, because I think it's really something. It's about an hour and a half. And what this guy is going into is what he calls the sharing economy. And he said we've already started the sharing economy, but that's what's going to replace the current economic system that we have. And he breaks down the history of economics and how their equations have been incorrect from the very beginning, based on them leaving out certain factors as far as energy use and consumption. And he gives all of the information on that. And what he discusses is I'm hearing like a weird buzz or hum. I don't know what that is. But anyway, he basically was saying that we're going to move to what he is calling a sharing economy. And he was saying where people are going to have to get past what you've always talked about, all of these borders and these means of separating ourselves from each other, because the way that they're – and he also, weirdly enough, he talked about the Internet of Things being multiple internets. So they're going to have like internets for different industries, and how the way that these are going to work, we're going to have to share everything. And the way, and he said he used the music industry, where before the monopoly was through the record labels, you had to get signed, they had to give you a budget, you go out, you promote your record, you perform, you collect that money, the record label gets their recoup from the record sales, you get a percentage. That now it's different, where the average person could sit in their house, buy a program, make their own album, and release it straight to the public. So he said that is an aspect of the sharing economy. It's the way that we're going about communicating with each other and sharing information and doing things in a way in which we all need to be completely connected to one another and have the ability to seamlessly share information so that the planet can function in a proper manner. He talked about caring for the planet and how that is a big...
But wait, Roz. Mm-hmm. Because it's too important what's being said here. We got to go to a commercial break. Can
sure.
you hold on past the break?
Yeah, I'm muting myself.
Okay, and then we'll go right back to you. Okay, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And my man Roz was breaking down the documentary that he posted inside of on our page, Tando Radio Show page, and I'm gonna tell you what the name of the documentary is. You definitely want to do it. It's known as, check it out on YouTube, it's by Vice, The Third Industrial Revolution, is what Roz was speaking of. So want to go back to Roz. Roz, go ahead, pick up where you left off, Roz.
No problem. Thank you. So basically,
do you still hear the buzzing?
It's in the background now. It's not as prominent. At one point, it was really loud, but it's like really, really low now. It's almost inaudible.
Okay. When I'm gonna mute myself. Maybe that may be it.
Okay, no problem. That's fine. So thank you too. So what he goes into is this whole process of there's us having a global community that will be sharing things on an unprecedented level. And he talks about the history of how capitalism facilitated this sharing economy via innovation, and how we're using old models on a lot of our systemic infrastructure that need to be updated and provide this sharing economy even more room to grow and develop. And the way he broke it down, and he was using all kinds of different global systems, the way governments interact with each other, the way human beings interact with each other, and he just talked about how all of that is going to have to shift dramatically and exponentially. And he also relates it to the destruction of the planet and the dire situation that the weather is in, and all of these things being facilitated by this old model of doing things, this what he called the pyramid structure, where all the power is concentrated in the hands of a very few people, and then it trickles down supposedly to the masses. He said that model of control of resources has to end, and this sharing economy that he talked about, this third industrial revolution, is what he's speaking about and how it's being ushered in without many people even being conscious of it, but how this is going to be the new thing that's going to take over. And I believe it's interesting that it's coinciding with the economic collapse. And like I said, the Lindsay Williams video where he talked about the fact that, you know, it's not that food's not going to be on the shelves, it's that you're going to have a currency that is ineffective at purchasing that. And you need to have, like you've always said, real money. Gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium, or you might have to start that bartering, that sharing economy again, where you start to barter for what you can get versus what other people have, and you switching off based on what your needs are. So there's going to be a violent because people are not going to be able to take that. Human beings are not good with quick change. We're just not good with that. We like to be comfortable and in our comfort zone. So when this does collapse, we're going to see some things that we're not prepared for in this country. But then out of that, I think, is where he's speaking of this rebuilding of the entire way that humanity relates to each other in regards to the sharing of information and the use of energy resources without them being dominated by these diabolical psychosociopaths that we've been dealing with now and white supremacist lunatics. So with that, thank you so much. I didn't mean to be so long-winded, but I just think it's a very important documentary that will really, really open a lot of people's eyes who may not have been aware. I wasn't really aware of it, but as he started breaking it down, I was like, oh, wow, this is something that you can't argue with what the information he brings forth to prove that it's already happening and has started already, but it's going to have to accelerate if we're going to survive collectively as a species. With that, thank you, good brother. Sorry for being long-winded. I'll mute myself.
No, very relevant, and I'm going to check out that. Once I saw you posted it, I knew that was something that I wanted to do. You know how they have book clubs nowadays, Keith and listeners? We need to have a YouTube watching thing on this one, because I would love to have where we would all watch it. And so what I would want to do, if everyone could, take Roz, how long is it? You said it's an hour and
it's about an
minutes,
hour and
right?
a half. Yeah, it's about an hour and a half, a little less, I think, because you know they put all the credits and all of that stuff. But I think it's cool.
Right.
And another thing I was going to say too, I don't know if you've ever gone in there, but Scotty created a group called the Black Film Study Area, and I and a few others have put quite a bit of really informative videos in there, whether it's on Black history and culture related to the 13th Amendment, stuff like this that we're talking about. So there's a myriad of things in there, hundreds at this time of videos that people can go through. And like you said, maybe we can do that where we pick one, everybody watches it, or a group of people, and then we chop it up and just have maybe like a mini round table about it or something, or, you know, callers can call in as well, of course, if they've watched it and chime in. Something like that. So I'm sorry for
interjecting.
I'll mute myself, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely, because I want to definitely see this one in So I'm definitely, and I didn't know about that. I'm going to try to catch up on that, because I'm going to tell you guys, as soon as I finish with the radio show and everything else, is Dave is always in, as Keith could tell you, I'm always on the phone and is running from this side to that side to doing this. And so, but I definitely want to do this one So I'm going to take a listen to this and then chime in on it sometime next week. So great post, Roz. Thank you for bringing the information. Thank you for who you are and what you do, bro. So we're definitely going to take a look at it, because that part of that is definitely happening. And so I definitely want to see that and then comment from it from there, because I haven't seen it. So I'm looking forward to it. My man Roz said, hey, check this out. Roz always sends me good, great stuff. Check this out. Check that out. Definitely make a point to do that. So, okay, so, you know, it's the numbers that they're saying, Keith, back to, you know, it's really probably somewhere on along the lines where every citizen in this country would really have to, let's say from that overall standpoint, and I'm not one that this to push that type of thinking or thought process, because that's just not me. But in order for the debt that the United States has, is that it would basically, in my opinion, it would definitely take somewhere around every single person in this country, man, woman, child, to have to give up about $4 million. $4 million. Because the overall, with the unfunded liabilities, the overall debt of the national debt is nowhere near $21 trillion. It's growing by a trillion every quarter. And that's what they're admitting to. But you would say, okay, well, what does that mean for me? So what? What does that, you know, just why is that significant? Here's why it's so significant. There's another article that is a really good one. It says the four pillars of debt in danger of collapse. And it's the four pillars, this writer has this, and this is out of the Daily Reckoning, okay? And this is Miss Prims. And so let me go down to what she accounts as what the four pillars of debt are. And let me see, where can I start? Okay, here it comes, right here. Let me pick it up from here. Yes, I should go through the whole thing. Okay, so here we go. Last month, I was in a series of high-level meetings with members of Congress and the Senate in Washington, where there's been major news about Supreme Court discussions about the Supreme Court. My discussions were on something that both sides of the aisle have a complete consensus over. You see, the issue that impacts your own bottom line are way more about economics than they are about politics. Move this down. On Capitol Hill, leaders know that they also know that voters react to what impacts their money. That's why, behind the scenes, I've been discussing issues focusing on protecting the economy. Behind closed doors, we've been working on how to shield the economy from too big to fail banks, and how the U.S. can better fund infrastructure projects. And these are the initiatives that all politicians should care about. Underneath the surface of the economy is a financial system that is heavily influenced by the Federal Reserve. That's why political figures and the media alike have all tried to understand what direction the system is heading in. Also, last week, I joined Fox Business in their headquarters to discuss the economy, the Fed, and what it all means for the market. On camera, we discussed the week's Federal Reserve meeting and the likely outcome. Off camera, we jumped into similar discussions that also move this down, that they also have in Washington, D.C. The Fox News host asked me what I thought about the new Fed chair, Jerome Powell. In general, Payne knew that I view the entire central bank system as a massive artificial bank and market simulation. Move this down. What I told him is that Powell is actually a good sense of balance in terms of what he does with the rates. and the size of the Fed's book. He understands the repercussions that moving rates too much, too quickly, or selling off the assets can have a global economic impact on the market. Savvy investors know that the U.S. has faltered because everything is interconnected. Move this down. That's why I could forecast that the Fed would raise rates by 25 basis points last week ahead of time. And they did. However, now there's less reasons to believe the Fed will raise rate in next meeting in December. Why is that? First, Powell has had made it clear that he doesn't see inflation heating up as a threat. Second, even though the last quarter GDP growth were relatively high, the reality is that much of the growth came from trade war spending in preparation. Another big chunk of the GDP growth was that the U.S. has experienced is based on debt. When considering the real problem of debt, the record consumer debt numbers the U.S. is painting a picture that you can see how the Fed will likely have to reverse course. At a time when we find ourselves celebrating the 10-year anniversary of the collapse of the old firm Lehman Brothers, the government's bailout of banks and the structure of big banks have really not changed. They remain too big to fail. Basically, there's a bunch of Lehman Brothers that are on the works and are actually falling into place right now, and the overall government bailout process is not going to be a bailout. Next time is going to be a bail-in. You need to know the difference between that. So let me get down to, so according to a recent New York Fed report, the total consumer debt is at its highest level now than going into the last financial crisis. The consumer debt is higher now than at going into the last financial crisis. By breaking down what debt is, you can understand how to navigate the world of finances and understanding how your own portfolio better and make more sense of sound investing, how to have a better portfolio and make more sensible investment strategies. Here's what they are. Okay, now, overall household debt. The state of household debt literally takes into account the combined debt within a given household and continues a flashing red across the 2017 Household Financial Survey by the Fed. About one quarter of U.S. adults have no retirement savings, and 41% that say that they do not have enough savings to cover a $400 expense. So overall, household debt has exploded. And they don't have any retirement savings. And 41% say they don't even have enough savings to cover a $400 emergency expense. What does this mean just from this overall one paragraph? It means that you are in a Great Depression already. And now what they talk about, a savings plan, is not really savings. And when they talk about a retirement plan, it's not really a retirement plan. It's all smoke and mirrors. And so the overall metrics is far worse. What I mean by that, the overall pension plans are unfundable. Everyone that paid into it, not everyone that paid into the system is going to receive anything from it. Why? Because it's subject to market principal loss. That means that the market is going to lose it. Then the overall debt of the household is really high. Now, 41% don't even have enough savings for $400. I would tell you that that number is far, far higher. And Keith, the thing about that number is even higher in so-called wealthy individual homes. In households, because those individuals are actually leveraged with debt far, far more. The overall consumer debt has hit new record highs. It's now $618 billion higher than at the peak at the 12.6 $6 trillion during the third quarter of 2008. Did you hear that number? Listen to this number. The overall consumer debt has hit a new record high. It is now $618 billion higher than it was at its peak at $12.68 trillion in 2008. Right before the onset of the last financial crisis, the total borrowing of America has hit $13.29 during the second quarter of last year. That's up. Whoa, she didn't put a number. That should be trillion. Sorry about that. She didn't put trillion in. The total borrowing of America has hit $13 trillion. $13.2 trillion during the second quarter of this year. That's up $454 billion from a year earlier. The fact is that the borrowing has risen for 16 consecutive quarters. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be 17, 18, and 19, and 20 quarters that is going up. So what are they saying? This is just the overall household debt of everyone. This is the true economy. Keith, you were talking about that the austerity measures are going to be coming in. They're going to be cutting out Social Security. They're going to be cutting out Medicaid. They're going to be cutting out social assistance. They're going to be cutting out. See, now when they start to cut those things out, you're going to see the real condition of how deeply enrooted this overall financial crisis is. You're going to see that the overall Great Depression never ended. It's just got greater. It's greatly depressed. Because it's even bad right now with all of the facade and all of the hiding and all of the trickery when it comes to debt. Because someone that's in debt, guess what their appetite is? To get into more debt. This is what someone in debt is always says. I need more debt so I can get out of debt. I just need a little more and I'll be all right. I need more, I need more, I need more. When they haven't done the hard work of getting out of what they've already gotten into. See, that's the path of hardship. And they don't want to go there. See, the system is always taught to add to our debt. It's never ever, it's always taught everyone to service and add to your debt. It's never, ever, ever taught you to be a prodigious saver and never be in the debt. So Keith wanted to chime in real quick. Go ahead, Keith.
You know, Dave, in line of what you're saying, I was reading an article the other day, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but it took me back to what they call them, these work day loans that they're talking about. When you go in there and payday loans, they call them, mm-hmm. and yeah. you're supposed to pay them. Well, not too long ago, and not to reveal our ages when something, nothing, but not too long ago, Dave, these loans were.
It's okay, Keith, for you to be 85. You're all right. You look good for 85. Go ahead, Keith.
Man, about 40 more years when I get there, I'll be all right. But not too long ago, these loans were illegal. If you look at the interest rate that they charged, they were loan sharking, right? So they changed all of that, and now you have all these payday loans out there, which is crazy, because I made the mistake of taking out $6,000 on a loan once. And I think I ended up paying almost three times that. And it was over a short period of time.
$18,000.
Something like that.
Yes.
It was utterly absurd. Utterly absurd. Well, I just read an article the other day that these payday loans have tripled in number in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, so they're crazy. But the people are getting to the point where they don't have no choice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, is that the trap is being laid. The trap is really being laid, and it's not a trap. It's not a minefield. It's not a zone of mines. It's not, you know, 1 acre, a minefield of a acre long.
It's a global minefield. It's an economic global minefield. And it's not something that you can step anywhere without it exploding. But see, this explosion implodes. It completely implodes. So the article goes on and now moves to credit card debt. The total of U.S. credit card loans has increased by $45 billion this year to a massive $829 billion total. Despite the cheap rates for banks, the average credit card interest payment is 15%, 15.5%. It was at 12.5% only 5 years ago. And yet people keep borrowing. The total revolving credit debt now stands at a record $1.04 trillion, higher than at its peak in 2008. The borrowers have paid a painful $104 billion in credit card interest fees in just the last year. That figures up to 11% from the prior year and up to 35% over 5 years. Let me just say this real quickly. Is 15%, 15.5% a high interest rate, Keith?
Absolutely.
Okay. We all would agree. Is 35% interest rate a high interest rate?
Absolutely.
Astounding. Is 50% interest rate high? Absolutely it is. That means that your interest rate is 50% of what you pay, which you loan on. 50% interest rate. 50%. How about this, Keith? The real interest rate for every U.S. citizen is 96% interest rate. Every single person in this country, in every country outside of, and every person outside of this country that deals with the U.S. economy is paying 96% interest and they don't even know it. 96% interest and they don't even know it. Here's how and here's why. See, these.
Let's do that from another point of view.
Okay, keep working.
So what you're saying is if I go out there, now your average. Minimum wage is $8 an hour?
Yeah, I think so. Let's use that, yeah.
All right, so what you're saying to me is if I go out there work an eight-hour day, I earn $64 for working 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that means for 2 days, I will earn $128 working for two whole days.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're telling me is out of that, I'll be able to keep about $6.
Yes.
About $6. Yes. Here's why the interest rate that every person and every entity that engages in the U.S. economy, they have a hidden interest rate that they don't tell you about that is very, very there. It's there. You could see it if you know how to look for it. And you have to pay it. And guess what? We pay it, and we gladly pay it, and we don't even know that it's a poison pill. It's called the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar has lost 96% of its purchasing power. So that is really, in losing 96% of its purchasing power, you're really paying 96% interest on every dollar that you have and you hold. So it doesn't matter how many you have. You have to pay that over. In other countries, because the dollar is the reserve currency of the world, other countries, every country that holds on and every person outside of this country that holds on to a U.S. dollar, you are paying 96% interest and you don't even know it. Because that's the overall purchasing power loss that it has reached up to now. And I say that it's probably 98%. Now, what does that really mean? This is a factual truth, an economic factual truth. but we don't know it because they hide it from us. It's you know, their deceptive tactics are very good. You know, the key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. And they can put on a theatrical show to where you're always watching the overall plot and theme of your own demise and don't even see it. Here's how that works. Because the U.S. dollar has no purchasing power, that means that you are working, and 96% of what you put in energy for that work, you've lost. So if you're working a 100-hour week, do you realize that only 4% of that 100
four hours
of that 100-hour week is your legitimate pay?
No, that's not your legitimate pay. That's not your legitimate pay. Because you work 4 hours, but out of those 4 hours, guess what? They're not taxes.
Yeah. Right. But how it works is you work 100 hours. You worked 100 hours. 96 hours of that for just interest. It's just interest. There's no way in the world
you'll ever be able to catch up. There's no way in the world you'll ever be able to make it. Now when you hear that and you see that, now you can really see the scope of how bad our indebtedness is and how bad this economy has put us in the position that it's put us into, where we now we've been delegitimized economically. We've been disenfranchised. You work 100 hours and 96 of those hours is the interest that you have to pay?
Definition of slavery.
It is. It's economic enslavement. See, the system has always been put into place to have slavery. How they were going to do it, that's their objective. Their method of doing it is by diverse means and in ways. They do it through the letter of the law. They do it through the economy. They do it through health care. They do it through institutional culturism. They do it through national culturism. They do it through all means and varied ways, and they all go back to the same place: enslavement. And it's only going to continue. So listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, when we come back, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
The Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. So now, we were talking about the overall true state of the economy is that we don't need an announcement that we're in a recession, a depression, or anything else. The evidence is already clear that we already are, and we have been for a very long time. We've actually been born into that overall economic. For those of you that, everyone that's here is, you know, I doubt that. Well, I won't say that because there could be someone that's 100 years old that's here. But outside of that, the majority of us have actually been born into this economic system, and this is the only thing that we've ever known. But just because that's the only thing that we've ever known and has ever been put towards us, that doesn't make it the only thing that is truly present or capable or what we could create. So here it is that we have this sustainable collapse after collapse, depression after depression, economic system. And some of the things that we could do to mitigate this individually is that we have to look at things from a different consciousness and look at things from a different advantage. We have to have a different objective. And it's very important, I think, for us to not to have the same to have the same method and the same Keith,
to have a unity of mind but not necessarily unity of method.
Yes, well the same, have the same goals,
yeah,
as the unity of mind. Yes. We can't have the same agenda that the system has. And we've actually been very well trained in doing just that, but having it on our terms and our way. Because a lot of times we become what we had to endure. So I think it's very, very important for us to have something other than that. Our objective should be to achieve prosperity, to have what was originally given to us as an option. And I think we need to go back and take that option, and take that option to have the great creator sustainable economy instead of man's manipulated economy. The choice is always ours. And how you can do that is that I think we need to re-engage a measure of sustainable truth in our lives and get away from derivatives, get away from ETFs, equities, get away from this, get away from that. All of these diverse tricks and facades of false wealth that they project to have, and then when it rubber meets the road, it gives you the exact same thing. It didn't work, but the next one will, because you didn't know enough about this. No, the system don't work. It's working very well, but is intended for it to have the end results that it's getting. It's a very successful program, but we need to have a different successful program that has a different objective, and that objective should be about prosperity, sovereignty, and self-determination, not manipulation, subjugation, and enslavement. And how do you do that? We have to get back to the ecosystem. If we don't get back to the ecosystem, if we don't contribute to the ecosystem, if we don't maintain the ecosystem and understand how important the ecosystem is, and foster and develop that over and harbor that relationship, if we don't create the environment that's going to be conducive to that success, then we're going to continue to stay in man's economy, and we're going to continue to stay broke, disenfranchised, sick, ill, injured, impoverished, and full of hate, full of anger, and worst of all, we're going to be suicidal. You know, Keith, a lot of our actions we look at suicide as being something other than what the true scope of suicide is. And I say that because of the practices that we do and what we've been taught to do is completely suicidal. The end result is that we are going to kill ourselves. When you engage with an overall entity that has always meant you harm, to engage in a relationship with them is suicidal. Their intentions has always been known. It's not going to change because you are now participating in it. If we continue to do the things that have been putting us in this place where we are now, guess what? We will continue to get that same result that will happen. We are suicidal over the overall homicidal approach that has been laid out. The system no longer has to be homicidal because it's indoctrinated and has caused a mental illness to now where the people are completely suicidal. In all forms of relations. And they developed a system that perpetuates and grooms that and feeds that and nourishes that daily. Daily. And until we get back to the ecosystem, when you get back to the ecosystem, you don't destroy a tree. You don't take more than what you need. You no longer eat for pleasure. You eat for energy. You eat for nourishment, not for contentment. And I'm not saying eating just eating of food, but it's also the consumption of everything else that we have. You do what's necessary. You do what's prudent. You don't do what's excessive. We don't overextend ourselves and our relationships for a mere momentary pleasure. We salvage, we repair, and we protect relationships for an inheritance. And this economic system, until we get back to that, we got to get back to what the ecosystem has. The ecosystem has to where that the sun doesn't burn us out. The ecosystem has that. Man didn't create that. The ecosystem has a harmonic balance of things. There's enough trees that are on the planet to provide oxygen for those that need oxygen. And then there's enough of other things that provide the CO2 that's necessary for the trees to be able to breathe. So your life and my life are giving to each other so that we both can do what? Live. See, there's enough fruit on the tree. If you don't enslave the tree in a farm where you don't become a profit farmer, and please understand what I mean by this. See, the prisons are always built in squares. If you look at farms, they take the trees and everything else, they actually enslave trees to produce for them. They see, and this is where the illness is. You'll have a farmer that will have trees, and those trees are only supposed to reap a harvest for the farmer to come in to harvest and take to market to sell. When the great creator never put it that way, here's how the great creator had it, where that tree would provide for everything to eat of their fruit. Even of that tree, even the tree. So, and it wasn't where you had to pay for your birthright. So just imagine, if you once you were able to go around on the ecosystem I've never seen the animals that live in the wild ever have to carry a wallet. If they were going to eat, they ate what they needed to eat, and then guess what they did? That was it. But see, now you're starting to see the ecosystem change, because guess what's happening? The food source for the animals has been depleted through what? Urbanization. So now you'll get animals where they'll ravishly destroy a tree, because the plentiness of it all has been gone, it's been removed. And we're not looking at these things. Yeah, I'm going to go to Arise in 1 second. We're not looking at these things as the reason as to why we're in this demise. So let me go to Roz. Roz, go ahead, bro. What were you going to say?
Oh, thank you for just giving me a second to speak. I just wanted to briefly say something. What you're describing is really, I sent you a text. I said we have to move from the ego system to the ecosystem. And it's a like you said, it's a mental illness. It's this greed that this system, this global system of European dominance has created. It's a system of greed where we're not able to share anything. Like you said, trees are enslaved, and a lot of people don't think that way, but that's actually what it is. It's the enslavement of the actual plant to produce solely for that farmer, and for the farmer to commodify the products and fruits of that tree, no different than they did to our ancestors and other non-white people globally, and even their own people. So ultimately, it's moving away from that ego-based system where I own everything and I distribute at my will and behest, and you have to, you know, give me what I deem to be the proper exchange, medium of exchange, whether it's cash or whatever it is, to get what I have, to the ecosystem, which again is kind of what that documentary is about, that shared economy, that ability to trade equitably and not be destructive in the use of the resources of the planet, and just distribute them equitably between all living things so that we can sustain the planet, just like you said. So with that, I'll mute myself, and thanks for another great show. Peace and love, brother.
Well said, Raj. Yes, the ego system has supplanted the ecosystem. Well said, Roz, and you've coined that one very, very well. It is the ego system over the ecosystem. And we don't see how deep this has gotten. And many will say, well, we need this to eat. Yes, you need that in the economy, in man's economy. When you walk away from the great creator's ecosystem, you're going to have to sustain yourself some way. And this is how they decide. And when you do that, there is a consequence for every decision that we make. So, listen, everyone, got to get out of here a little bit earlier today. I just want to say thank you all so much. I want to thank Roz for calling in, all of the listeners that came in, Pastor Keith for being a great co-host. You, the listeners, greatly appreciate you all. Remember, it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.